Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're speaking to Congressman Mike Hill. He is the former District 1 representative for the state of Florida. It's always a delight to have him on board with us, get his ingenuity and thoughts and his in-depth position as a Christian in what we need to do, especially when it comes to the election cycle that we're in now. Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917 if you'd like to join in this dialogue and discussion or ask a question to Congressman Hill in relationship to the election, where you think we're going and what do you think is going to take place. We have another caller on the line. We'll take that in just a moment. But Congressman, let me go back to a point you had just touched on before the news break about the prosecution, the persecution of Christians and Christian organizations under this present administration. I believe there may be the great potential that multitudes listening today are not even familiar with some of the things that are taking place in that realm with Christian persecution and prosecution under the DOJ and the Christopher Wray FBI. Tell us about what is happening, and the major thing that I want to reveal in that this part of our discussion today, if we want to see these persecutions and prosecutions of Christians continue and escalate, a no vote, you don't, a Christian, a conservative listener, just don't vote, and we'll see it escalate. If you want to see it change, you need to vote. But tell our listeners what you see is taking place in America with the persecution and prosecution of Christians. Give our listeners some examples of it and what is taking place with that.
Well, what we're seeing, Dr. Youngblood, as one particular example, is how the left went on the attack against pregnancy resource centers, creating acts of vandalism and destruction, and absolutely nothing happened. No one was arrested. No one was confronted. But here we have a pastor of 7 children, and he was at a murder facility, a place where they murder the preborn. I don't even like to use the word abortion because that's giving them a pass. It's murder.
That's right.
And he was standing out front with his family, exercising their First Amendment free speech rights, and just simply praying and saying that what was happening inside that facility was murder and was wrong. And one of the supporters of that murderous facility confronted one of his children, got in front of them, and was bodily intimidating them, getting very close to their face. And what this pastor did was he came in between that person and his child, as any father should,
yes,
and simply pushed him away, didn't even push him down, just, you know, pushed him away. Hey, get away from my child. Well, he was arrested and charged with assault. And of course, the city said, well, no, we don't think so. And then the state also said, no, we don't think so. But a year later, the FBI raided his home. Something like 15 armed FBI agents raided his home in the early hours and took him away in front of his children, charging him with assault. that's an example of what we see happening with this Biden regime and with Christopher Wray, head of the FBI, and Merrick Garland, head of the Department of Justice.
Absolutely. And one of the things I can touch on also, I'm looking at headlines, says school board members report mom to the DOJ for criticizing the school's COVID policies. And it goes on to talk about Merrick Garland getting involved in the prosecution, harassment, intimidation, and threats to any parent that will go before the school board. Congressman, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't know of a time in my lifetime when a complaint before the school board warrants being escalated to the federal level for the U.S. Department of Justice with the DOJ involving themselves in the prosecution and persecution of conservative Christians, conservatives in general, that will stand before a school board questioning what's being taught in relationship to the push for COVID vaccinations or the closure of the schools because of COVID pathogen or because of the parents' request for information about the school teaching the CRT or the LGBTQ agenda. Has there been a time in your lifetime, mine, other than in this administration, where that rises to the level of a federal crime?
This is unprecedented, Dr. Youngblood, of what we are seeing happening right now. And as you mentioned, the school boards is just another example of how this Biden regime is coming down hard against Christians. First of all, the Department of Education, the Federal Department of Education, is unconstitutional, should not
yes.
even exist.
I agree.
And education should be left at the state level, and even more lower than that, at the county or city level, where it is closest to the parents where they are sending their children. By the way, I would add this, Dr. Youngblood, that any parent who's listening right now, I would suggest to you as strongly as I can, get your children out of these government schools.
Amen.
They're broken. They're in shambles. It's a mess. Either homeschool, private school, internet school, charter school in some cases, but get your children out of these government schools. Why? Because they have taken it upon themselves, the idea that they have the right to teach your children what they want to and not you, their parents. It's insane.
Absolutely. Congressman, hold your thoughts a moment. I believe we have Lily on the line. Lily, go over the question or comment, please.
Thank you very much, Dr. Youngblood. God bless you and Congressman Hill. Thank you for what you're doing. Speaking
of,
I like Congressman Hill. I like his forecasting of what might be, what could be coming up, what could be in the coming election. I like it. It's encouraging, and we would hope. Where I'm concerned, I still strongly feel that if that happened, it would be nothing short of the sheer grace and mercy of God. God, a special intervention like he did in 2016, intervened. Because somehow, I am quite convinced that America has crossed the line or crossing the line. And, only nothing short of the grace of and mercy of God. I think recently, a couple of days ago, the Chinese leadership dictator had an election and has renewed his position as leader of that country with more strength and power. And we know that the Chinese people would do anything to avoid that, but they have lost control completely. The election, yes, but we know what kind of election. And I am just fearful that America, what we saw in 2020, it wasn't good. That was not good before our eyes, and if we have, it could be that we are moving from what is happening, as you have been mentioning, the condition of persecution of believers and the brazen behavior of our leaders. It is showing up so strong. The bias and the type of leadership that we are going through. We don't know what is there, but only God could give America another chance. I really think America is crossing the line where, yes, the time is election, yes, but not the people's will. Have nothing to do with the will and mind of the people, like it is in Iran and the other controlled countries, the communist countries. The election, yes, they will have it, but just a...
You're exactly right, Leland. It's your prayer, just as it is our prayer, that God will intervene, as you so succinctly stated, as he did in 2016, and give us a reprieve. I believe in 2016, God gave us a reprieve. I believe as a people, as a nation, we squandered that in 2020. I believe we're suffering the consequences of God's judgment upon a nation that said no to God, very clearly, very succinctly, with what's happening with our national leadership. Very, very clear that that's happening. And so it's our prayer, and I'm thankful that you see that and you stand with us on that. It's our prayer that God will intervene and give us victory in 22 days at the ballot box. Lily, thank you so much for your call. Thank you for your insight. You're spot on with some of the statements that you have made. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a very serious subject today that I believe that we need to have our attention drawn to it. We need to understand what is happening. Countdown to the destiny of America. We're talking about the need, the vital need, for everyone under the sound of my voice to vote. And when I say vote, I'm not talking about just a willy-nilly vote. I'm not talking about just going and casting a ballot. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very, very carefully. You cast a vote for the Democratic Party, any Democratic candidate, you're casting a vote for murder by way of abortion. You're casting a vote for the LGBTQ agenda in our schools. If you vote for a Democratic candidate on local, state, or national level, you're voting for the continual teaching of the CRT, that is the critical race theory in our schools, which is promulgating racism and division as never before. You're voting for, if you vote for a Democrat, you're voting against faith and family and our freedom. If you cast a vote for a Democrat, you're voting for against the Second Amendment. You're voting against the right to keep and bear arms. You're voting for one that's going to destroy American sovereignty. Our southern border is already wiped out. What I'm simply saying, ladies and gentlemen, as we say there's a need to vote, we're talking about a need for a conscientious, conservative, Christian, conservative, patriotic vote. And that's voting for a candidate that's going to stand for God, going to stand for faith, going to stand for our freedom, going to stand for the family, and not have it dissipated and destroyed. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. We're talking with Congressman Mike Hill. Congressman, thank you again for being with us today on this broadcast. I pray that your words will be an incentive for our listeners to know how to vote and will cast the vote accordingly. I'm looking at a headline, Congressman, that says, Durham probe, FBI offered Christopher Wray $1 million to lie about the Steele dossier. Are you familiar with that? And what does that connote?
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, that was during the whole investigation of the Russian dossier to say that Trump was colluding with Russia during his campaign, and they knew that it was false. They knew that what was being brought forward would not hold water at all, but they wanted Christopher Wray, they offered him $1 million to confirm that it was a legitimate dossier, and he refused it because there was no way, not because he's such a virtuous person. No, he refused it because he knew there was no way that he could legitimately do that and get away with it. And what we are seeing right now is that Durham, who headed up that whole investigation, is now himself being investigated. It won't go anywhere as long as Democrats are in charge of the House and Senate. But as soon as the Republicans take that over, you can, I would say you can expect to see that investigation of Durham, not of Durham, of Durham is the one who's conducting the investigation.
Right, right.
But of the Mueller, that you're going to see Mueller be investigated more stringently. And thank God we have Durham there, who, despite having an administration that is basically against him, that he is doing his job in bringing all this to light.
One of the things that I want our listeners to understand, we have a total breakdown in what you'd call law and order in America. We have a lawlessness that's pervading our society. And just for a little parenthetical footnote, Congressman, for our listeners to understand, we're watching the fulfillment of the Word of God. Matthew chapter 24, beginning with about verse 10, 11, and 12, it talks about lawlessness pervading and prevailing in the world. We're watching that come about. And I always say, when we see what God's Word says coming about as news lifting right off the pages of the Word of God to the headlines of the news, we understand that God is in control. And I always say, the Scripture says, look up for you and lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh, Luke 21:28. So when we see these things happening, though we should be serious about it, though we should have a somber, serious attitude that motivates us to go out and vote, we need to understand that we're dependent upon God and not on man. It's God and not government that we place our faith and trust and confidence in. And so I am thankful that there is a little gleam of hope out there beyond November the 8th. But the major takeaway that I want our listeners to understand today, this gleam of hope, this possibility of God's intervention, is totally predicated and dependent upon what we do in relationship to the vote November the 8th. One of the things that we see taking place today, and I don't know if our listeners are familiar with it or not, looking at headlines, says ICE issues smartphones to 255,602 illegals crossing the borders and at a cost of $89.5 million a year. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but what we see taking place is that we have our veterans, our military men, I should say, those in military, many of them understand as much as about 40% of our military personnel are having to depend on social welfare to get provide the dollars for them to pay their bills and buy groceries each month. And yet our federal government, under the Biden administration, passing out cell phones at the rate of 255,602 and at a cost of $89 million per year. Now, what are your thoughts in relationship to that? If we see that major unconcerned philosophy from the Biden administration about our military, that's just the tip of the iceberg as to what is taking place with our military as compared to what they're doing for the illegals coming in. Could you weigh those two thoughts and give your illustrations and thoughts on that for our listeners today to understand what's happening in Washington with the Biden administration and the differentiation that we see where there's no concern about America, no concern about our military, no concern about faith, family, and freedom, as Tony Perkins calls it. But nevertheless, we find a total being in the tank for everything that's against our Constitution.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, and not only against our Constitution, but against the Word of God.
Yes.
Is what we're seeing right before our eyes right now. And as you mentioned, I also saw that article where the Biden regime is giving these illegal immigrants these cell phones and neglecting our veterans and even our active duty personnel to the point where their pay is not enough for them to provide the basics for their family. And so the suggestion was to them to apply for welfare, to apply for food stamps to support their family. Now, Dr. Youngblood, I grew up in a military family. My father was enlisted in the Air Force for 26 years. I have 8 brothers and sisters, a large family. And there was his military pay was not enough. This was in the 60s and 70s. But what my father would do is after spending a day on the flight line, he was an avionics crew chief, he He will come home, get out of his fatigues, change his clothes, go off base, and work another job. We did not receive any kind of handouts. My father did what he had to do to get it done. Amen. That being said, if this Biden regime is going to continue to spend money like this on illegals, they should at least first give it to our active duty military and to our veterans. But we see from the Secretary of Defense, Les Austin, all the way down, almost an intentional dismantling of our military, where they are forcing out those who are of faith, who would not take the COVID jab because of their faith or belief. They are forcing them out. And then we saw even in the Obama administration where high-level military members who were generals, commanders on down, that they were being removed, they were being fired so that Obama could begin changing the structure of our military, making it more in line with what the Council for Foreign Relations wants,
right,
and trying to go towards this new world order.
Congressman, you touched on COVID, and I need to, our time is rapidly dissipating, but I need to delve into that. We're finding every day that COVID and the COVID vaccine, the COVID protocol, have simply meant death and dying on an extraordinary level in America. And the question that I need to ask you is your position, your thoughts, in relationship to COVID, was it real? Were the vaccines an excuse for mass genocide? Should there continue to be any forced mask mandates, any forced COVID jab? And I say that because President Biden just renewed the national health order, if you will, making it possible for some organizations, companies, and the military to continue to pressure and force the vaccination. What are your thoughts on that? What's your take on that? How should we, the people, respond to that?
We should reject it, Dr. Youngblood. We should resist it, stand up against it. There's too much data out there now showing that the COVID jabs are killing people, that it is injuring people permanently, and that the Pfizer executive admitted just the other day, about a week or so ago, that they never tested that vaccine to see if it would stop the transmission of COVID from one individual to another. They never tested it for that. And now we're seeing that it is not effective with that. It never was. But instead, it is killing young men from the ages of 18 to 39, that they are dying of heart attacks, heart failure, because of those COVIDs at an alarming rate, so much so that the Florida Surgeon General, Dr. Lodapo, issued a statement saying that we are not going to suggest that you take the jab here in Florida. And just to show you how insane it is, despite all the evidence, all the documentation out there of the harmful effects of this, when Biden was coming to Florida after Hurricane Ian went across its destructive path, the words out of his mouth was the first and best thing you can do is get the COVID jab. That is just insane. They are doubling down on what they know is wrong, and I believe it's intentional, started by a biological warfare attack from a communist Chinese party on the United States and on the world.
You're exactly right, and I'm in full sync with that. I'm adamantly 100%, 1,000% opposed to the COVID protocol that's used by the doctors in the hospitals, the medical administrations. I'm, in fact, 1,000% against the so-called COVID vaccination. In fact, as you said, more and more we're finding that it was a fraud to begin with. Looking at an article, a study confirms COVID death, the risk of it, near zero for the majority of the people. So we're finding now the truth easing out, a little, oozing out, as you'd call it, a little at the time, that the COVID pathogen itself had a near zero mortality rate, and yet it was hyped as being super dangerous, opening the door for the federal government to force shutdowns, lockdowns, mask wearing, and the destruction of our economy, and now still being pushed by the Biden administration. And one of the things I want to do is the nexus to that is if the our listeners today, if the nation of America, if the Americans vote for the Democratic ticket, we're saying we want to continue the forced lockdown. We want to continue the forced mask wearing. We want to continue the forced jabs that's destroying millions and millions. In fact, one scientist / doctor said that in the next 10 years around the globe, perhaps as much as 1 billion people will die as a result of the COVID vaccination. And yet, Congressman, I must touch on this. Headline, Boston University researchers develop a COVID strain with an 80% kill rate. Why, under God's blue heaven, would we be doing this in America? Where is the legality of it? Because back in 2014, it was discovered that it was being done at Durham, at the North Carolina, at the university. And that was shut down, put on hold, until the end of December of 2016. This is the reason Dr. Fauci said in early January of 2017, when President Trump took office, that he was going to face a pandemic. That is, Trump would face a pandemic, because they knew what had been created, started in the University of North Carolina lab, carried over to Wuhan, China, released on the general public, whether accidental or purposeful, but now finding that it's back in America, and I believe at the applause of the federal government. What are your thoughts on that? Should it be stopped? And then after that, wrap us up with what Christians should do, what we should have as a takeaway of this broadcast today, how it should motivate us to vote for a conservative candidate.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, of course that should be stopped. Any further work with that COVID virus pathogen should be stopped. I think what they are doing is they saw that the what was released by the Communist Chinese Party was not effective at killing people, as you just said. So they now have to create a more dangerous strain which can kill people to be used as a biological weapon against the world. Christians need to get out and vote. Vote November 8th for Republicans, not for Democrats. Vote for Republicans. And I would close it by saying this, Dr. Youngblood. It comes from Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Amen. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Christ is the answer. We chase after him. We follow him. He is our salvation. He is what we should be running towards, and that is what's going to save this nation and every individual.
Absolutely. Congressman Hill, thank you so much for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air, as once again we face the issues.
Listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.